Welcome to Forward Rowan, Prosperity Through Progress, the podcast where we bring you stories of the sectors fueling Rowan County's prosperity. In this Industries on the Rise episode, join Kendall Henderson, Director of Business Services at Rowan EDC, to explore the heartbeat of local industry. Hear directly from the leaders, plant managers, HR professionals, and visionaries shaping our community's future. Tune in to learn what makes Rowan the ideal place for thriving businesses.
Welcome to Prosperity Through Progress. I'm Kendall Henderson, your host, and I'm the Director of Business Services here for the Rowan Economic Development Council here in Salisbury. We're so excited to have you today, so welcome to the podcast. And today we're actually joined by our special guest, Elisa Stone, Senior Director Facility Leader for Macy's Inc. And we are excited to talk with her and get an inside look at the powerhouse of logistics and innovation and all the excitement that's happening at the China Grove facility. From talent strategies to cutting edge automation, Elisa is gonna share how China Grove is really helping Macy's stay forward focused in a rapidly changing retail space. So let's dive in. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much.
So I wanted to kind of really have a really great conversation, just talk about, you know, what makes Elisa tick. And anyone that's been lucky enough to get an email from you, I've noticed your signature. It says Nana, water enthusiast and perpetual learner. So, you know, you've had such an impressive journey in your short time in the logistics space. Yeah. And, you know, you've been leading at the highest levels of arguably some of the most iconic brands in retail and global logistics. Like, think iconic names, household brands like Walmart, Gap, Target, the list goes on. So, and now you're back all where it began, kind of like full circle.
Yep.
So that kind of experience gives you a really rare 360 degree lens, right? Mm-hmm. A perspective of high performing teams and how to really navigate complex environments. So let's start there. You've led some really major operations at some of those companies we just named. Can you talk about how you've come full circle back to Macy's and what inspired your return? And what does this homecoming mean to you both personally and professionally?
Absolutely. So Macy's is that brand that took a chance on me. Mm-hmm. So I was looking for a job for the summer, and a cousin of mine got me introduced to someone who was leading a team at Macy's. Mm-hmm. The interview consisted of playing softball. It had nothing to do with the work content, but we connected as people, right? And that's where it began, the connection from a people perspective.
Okay.
I was given the opportunity to start with Macy's as an hourly colleague working in inbound receiving. And from that point, I then moved through in various leadership roles, etc. I spent nearly 8 years with Macy's, the first go around. So I put them into a space where they began my career and they took a chance on me. Mm-hmm. A couple leaders that I can stand back and smile that really had great exchanges. Mm-hmm. Transparently, when it was announced that I was coming back, one of those leaders reached out to me that's still with Macy's and said, "Is that you? Is that really you, Elisa?" And I'm like, "It is, I'm back." But ultimately, I wanted to come back so that I could take everything that I've learned through the course of my career and bring it back into this amazing company. Macy's is 167 years old, right? It's founded with May Company and Federated Department mm-hmm. Stores, and it came together, and it's across the country, and there's gaps in their supply chain. And it became very clear as I was reading through the dialogue of the of Bold New Chapter from mm-hmm. a Macy's perspective mm-hmm. that they were focusing in on supply chain. And I was lucky enough to be chosen to run this crazy automated building in China Grove.
Lucky, that's a word for it, right? a little bird told me that you were almost voluntold to step into this role. And it was a huge honor because I know you were chosen out of Macy's highest and best already performing,
yep.
you know, associates. So what a compliment again. And talking about, you know, 167 year old legacy company, it's exciting and really just edifying to me to know that we're also Macy's largest investment since your inception.
Yep.
So it's a big deal that they located here in China Grove to account for what almost 30% of the corporate volume is coming through
Absolutely.
The facility.
Absolutely.
So that's wild. So
and we will represent all three nameplates. We'll
yeah.
have Macy's, Bloomingdale's, and Bluemercury.
That's right. Okay.
So we're marketing that as you walk into the building. We'll have that nameplate across the side, and you'll we'll understand what Macy's Inc. represent.
Absolutely. So it's not so Macy centric. So that's awesome.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Great. So it seems to me that you've had a front row seat, and often sometimes you're right in the center of all the Macy's magic, if you will, of some of the most sophisticated automated like operations in the global space. So each company, I'm sure, has their own system, scale, processes, proprietary machinery, yeah, equipment, all of that. So that kind of hands-on leadership in really high pressure environments gives you a unique lens on what works and also just what truly drives performance, okay? Mm-hmm. So in your eyes, how have those past experiences really shaped your vision for the new Macy's facility here in China Grove? And like, what does that look like?
I think the strongest piece for me is you've always got to anchor back to leadership is people.
Mm-hmm.
The processes, the automation are crazy amazing. And I feel like a kid in a candy store when I walk in that, oh my goodness, I have responsibility for launching this. But the reality of it is, it's the people that's going to bring it to life. I was asked the question through the interview process if I had automation experience linked to what's inside this building. Mm-hmm. My response was no, but I know how to run a building from a process perspective, and I know how to elevate a team mm-hmm. from a cultural perspective. So let's talk there. And that's where I kind of started with the conversation as I was going through the interview process.
Yeah, and I love that you led with that of intentionality around mm-hmm. being honest and what you bring to the table, but how you can leverage those skill sets to be able to step confidently inside this new role. Because I'm sure there's a lot of uncharted territory for you as well. Because correct me if I'm wrong, but China Grove is the most automated U.S. facility for Macy's footprint. Is
it
that
is.
Right?
Okay. It is. And it actually has the largest auto store capability in the country for all organizations.
And we did for some time until Belgium came along. Is that right?
And we did for the world until Belgium came along. But that's okay.
Yeah.
So we have roughly 1,000 robots and 1.2 million bins in the four spaces for auto store. And ultimately, it's going to give our storage capability exactly what we need to fulfill that obligation for 30% of the volume.
That's wild. Wow. I just can't really wrap my mind around that kind of scale.
Yeah.
And I've seen it and I've walked it and I still can't really fathom. So, okay, great. So there's no question that, you know, Macy's customer and fulfillment center that you were just speaking into, that was a major win for Rowan County. And it was honestly our largest win in our company history, bringing almost 1,000 jobs, cutting edge technology, and just obviously a serious boost to our region's economy. It's one of the largest and most high profile projects here in the region that we've seen in recent years, and a huge part of the growing identity of the hub for advanced distribution in and of itself. So from your perspective, what made Rowan County such an ideal location, just the right fit for this kind of game-changing investment?
Absolutely. It's a question that I get frequently, right, on why the presence in North Carolina when there's limited store base here, right, from a Macy's perspective. But the reality of it is we're centrally located. We've got an East Coast presence. Mm-hmm. We can get to the coastline. We've got ability to get things from port to us quickly.
Right.
But we're in that customer hub where we are actually looking at improving our time to market or time to consumer. Overall organization right now is right around 5 days. And we're looking at trying to get 3 days. And the piece to understand for Macy's Inc. customers is they're not interested in speed. They're interested in you living up to the expectation that you provide.
I see.
So if you said that delivery is going to be on June 15th, then make the delivery on or before June 15th. They're not asking for next day. They're not asking for within 12 hours. They just want us to live up to the expectation that we published.
Love that. And when can we expect, as far as like a go live date for seeing the products actually come into the mail? Like, when can we expect a package from Macy's Inc. China Grove?
September 9th is day one for outbound.
And I heard that you're going to send a package just to you, just
to myself.
To see.
Yeah. I'm going to make a purchase and see if they can pull my order through.
Okay.
And watch that trail through the entire system. The team has given me the luxury of being the one that actually gets to pull the unit and ship the unit as it's first. So,
oh my gosh, I just know you're gonna geek out. That's so special.
And it will be a gift for Loretta. So
yeah, absolutely.
Go. Yeah,
Loretta's your granddaughter.
Absolutely.
Yes. Wonderful.
Absolutely.
So one thing I really want to call out and tell our listeners, especially if you haven't yet had the opportunity of meeting Elisa, is just how intentional you've been since day one, since the moment I met you, not just in taking on this major leadership role, but in really just choosing to truly live here, you know, and make China Grove your home. And I knew that that was so important for you to activate the community and be able to stand in front of your associates and in front of your core team and say, hey, I'm here, I live here, I'm all in on this community. And that really just comes across, you know, wow. That kind of commitment isn't something that we really see every day. And right. It really speaks so much to your values personally and mm-hmm. also your just connection to the community and what you stand for as Macy's overall. So what inspired that decision as far as living here, and what has your experience been like so far living in Rowan County?
So it's the experience has been great. Ultimately, the more that my face is in the community, though, the more I get asked things when I'm out and about, right? So I make sure that my husband has the lens on that you're the partner of the person who works for Macy's as we're out and about. But ultimately, that's just a private joke that we have. But the reality of it is I love living where I work. Mm-hmm. This is the first time I've ever done that. I've always created a lot of separation mm-hmm. when my children were in school, that I wouldn't be in a space that I could hire and fire people in theory in the place that I work and they have to deal with the ramifications.
Right.
So this is the first time that I've had the freedom to actually choose where I'm going to stay. Mm-hmm. And I fell in love with China Grove.
Oh my gosh, I love that. That's awesome. So great, thanks for sharing. Something, Elisa, that I keep hearing, and honestly, it just really shows and comes across in quite literally almost everything that you do and say, is just how passionate you are about creating a workplace where people feel seen and truly appreciated, acknowledged, and praised, and just really empowered to step into that next role or emboldened to take on that next challenge, yeah. you know? And like they're really a part of something bigger and greater than themselves, right? That kind of intentional culture is really special, and honestly, it doesn't just happen. It's not like it's just an organic byproduct, especially in a high-paced environment.
Right.
It takes really a lot of vision and heart. So what does that look like when you activate culture in the Macy's DC? What does that look like, and why is that such a core part of your own personal leadership approach?
It has to be grassroots.
Okay.
Right? If we don't start with the first person who walks in the door to mm-hmm. say, this is what we're going to stand for, and this is how we're going to go about the work.
Right.
So we did it with great intention. For our director team as we brought them in. They represent six different companies, but they came in understanding that this was a fresh start, clean slate, and we could create the culture mm-hmm. and make sure that we were generating what we needed. And it's now iterated down to the leadership team, frontline leaders, mm-hmm. and now we're to the hourly colleague.
Okay.
So we're going through orientation cycles with perhaps 20 individuals at a time. And we have a really robust onboarding process where we take them through the expectations for Macy's.
Mm-hmm.
This is what you should experience inside the building with safety being your number one priority,
right.
et cetera, et cetera. And then in the middle of that, I get to jump in for 30, 45 minutes and talk about me,
mm-hmm.
my journey, and how that can become their journey.
Wow.
With great intentionality, we decided not to hire hourly trainers and leaders from the beginning. We're hiring everybody on a level playing field,
mm-hmm.
and then you get the opportunity to come in and demonstrate your skill set and capability, and perhaps within 30, 60 days mm-hmm. of us going live, we'll elevate folks into leadership roles so that they can start their journey inside wow. Macy's on the next step that, who knows, 20 years from now, there might be another person sitting in a chair that yeah. I helped to groom and develop.
That's so special just because it just shows people what's possible.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love that you are really leading with culture advancement and kind of giving your associates those tracks to run on, mm-hmm. saying, hey, if you want to just stay here, right here at the operational level, that's great. We'll meet you where you're at.
Yep.
But you want to go to that next step? Okay, we'll get you there.
And we're holding places for you.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
With intentionality.
That's
right. We're holding executive places as well. That if we have leads within 6 months that are demonstrating capability, mm-hmm. we're holding positions so that we can have an internal pipeline
oh, wow.
and investment inside the building and the organization.
Oh, that's brilliant. I just love to hear that. So thanks for sharing that. So Elisa, talk to me. As you continue to grow the team here, I imagine, just a hunch, that finding the right people is pretty critical, not just for the roles themselves, but just for the overall culture and the energy of the facility that you're creating. So what kinds of positions are you looking to fill right now, like as far in real time? And what qualities do you notice in those candidates who really connect with both the work and are able to thrive in your type of environment?
Sure. So from a operations perspective, hourly, we're looking for folks who are resilient. Okay. They adapt well to change. A lot of the resources that you hire are used to being in a production environment, and they're walking in and they know how to start the day and they finish the day and the task in between. But because we're a startup, we have no routines and no structure. We might be testing the system one hour, the next hour we might send you to go clean something, we tap you on the shoulder and bring you back again. So we need people who can adjust, they adapt, and they're resilient because they want to make sure that we're successful. We're wrapping up the weekday hiring with the 100 colleagues that we have, and we're going to call them the founding group, right? And then we're rinse and repeat and do the same thing for the weekend when we start up in August. And we're going to have that first 100 people on each shift that has that ownership that I was here when we turned it on. I was here when we moved the first box. I was here helping to define the process. And so if we can anchor to that ownership at the hourly level, then it just makes everything else so much more efficient. Safety focused.
And I just love the pride that each associate kind of encompasses and feels with having that ownership of their piece of that operation. That's something that they can claim. And that's really special. That kind of tees me up for my next question. So talking about starting, you know, from scratch and building a brand new state-of-the-art gorgeous flagship facility like the one we have in China Grove, which, mind you, is 1.4 million square foot on the bottom, and then what, another 700,000 square foot up top of the mezzanine?
Yes.
That's wild.
Yes.
Building that new facility from the very beginning gives you a unique opportunity to shape culture from day one, like we've talked about. So what kind of like workplace environment are you creating for China Grove as far as how you're making sure it supports both the people and your business goals overall?
Absolutely. So from the business perspective, I'll start there. We have metrics that we're going to be accountable to. And we're vetting those through now with our corporate resources so we understand, do we get grace as we ramp, or are we going to be expected to hit the mark right out of the chute, right? So we're working through those details. What we've defined are routines within our system that we're going to know what our planning volumes are for the next day. We're going to have the right headcount in play. We're going to make sure that we're efficient and effective from a unit per hour perspective. So that piece of it is easy. Right? It's a math equation. You turn that into what you need to be successful.
Right.
But when you stand back and talk about the people, that's really when it gets critical. And it's making sure that everybody understands their role, their capability, and the impact that they can have. One of the sayings that I have quite frequently is everybody has a seat at the table and the chairs are all the same size. The reality of it is I might occasionally be asked to be a decision maker, but my goal was to never use my voice. My goal was to sit back and let the rest of the team do the problem solving, come up with the corrective action that needs to be put into play, and quietly behind the scenes guide the team through.
Wow, that's awesome. I love that approach. So let me ask you this. With over, what, north of 25 years, I'd say, in retail operations? Well, you're only 40, so the math is not mathing. You've likely faced and been up against so many challenges, lots of setbacks, blips on the radar, right? And so when you look back, if not the most important lesson, like what was like something like a moment of impact in your career? And it doesn't have to be with Macy's, but something that really has shaped you and it stays with you today as far as when you think about how you want to show up for your people and guide and lead. What does that experience look like?
Sure. When you're a young leader, you think you have every answer that exists. As you become more proficient and spend more time in the industry, you recognize that you have to have a team. You can't do anything alone. If you think that you can run a building 2.something million square feet and every decision is going to hinge on you, it's not possible. So you have to build a culture of trust. You have to build this space in which you guide the team to get to a point that they're providing the best that they can, and they're learning and growing along the way. So have to be team focused, have to surround yourself with brilliant people, have to be willing to be vulnerable and say, teach me, maybe I don't understand.
Absolutely.
And be in a situation where you can just stand back and let the team shine. One of my leaders likes to mention the fact that my role was to be an umbrella. And initially I didn't understand what he meant.
Yeah.
But it's to create protection. So while he's developing and learning, mm-hmm. he has shade, protected from the elements.
Right.
But then when it's time for him to shine, the umbrella gets put away and stand to the side, and now he can shine. So ultimately, I love it when the team calls me an umbrella because they're relying on me to put structure and mm-hmm. routine and to basically put my arms around them and say, you've got this, right. It's okay.
Right.
And then I can step to the side and let them rise up and mm-hmm. learn something new, get a different experience, etc. Mm-hmm. So, and under no circumstance can I ever do anything without a team.
Absolutely. I love how you like package that. And to me, I don't care what's in your title. I believe every person has the opportunity and the ability to be a leader if they're able to rise up and develop mm-hmm. other folks too. When I think about leadership, Alisa, there's kind of like a push and pull energy, almost like you could think about like a mountain guy taking folks up the mountain. There's people that want to come along with you and they've risen their hand and they have that grit and the hustle and they want to go. And then other people that you're kind of pushing. And so I just think that push-pull energy, you definitely have that, like you are at the top and you're bringing them up with you mm-hmm. and you embolden them and you empower them and you have them kind of borrow your belief in them until they get there.
Right.
And so there's such a difference in energy and you definitely have the pull energy, which I love to see. So thanks for sharing that. I love the umbrella metaphor. That's wonderful.
Yeah, and pull was actually a basic concept for supply mm-hmm. chain. You want to pull the volume through the building with
right.
the least amount of resistance.
Right.
So I appreciate the fact that that's how you connected that.
Yeah, absolutely. So you're always growing, you're always learning, you're always evolving, which is one of the things I love about you. What's like the coolest or like most eye-opening thing that you've learned recently? Like just something that just really stuck with you or just kind of cracked you wide open. And it could be something about leadership, something you learned about the community, or even something personal in your own life.
I think from a leadership perspective, and this is a lesson that I learned probably once a year,
mm-hmm.
And I always keep coming back to it.
Mm-hmm.
I have to make sure that I'm giving it everything that I have, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So to your point earlier, I have some folks that I can pull through, some I'm pushing through,
right.
whatever the case might
mm-hmm.
be. But anytime I think I'm done and I've done everything that I can do, I need to do more. I need to one-up every time. One more step,
yeah.
One more push, one more challenge,
wow.
one more engagement, right? So, and there are points and times where I get tired and I think I'm done and I'm
yeah.
finished and I've exhausted everything that I'm capable of giving someone.
Mm-hmm.
And then I recognize that's not fair to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I had people that pushed me along the way and I have to get my energy back and go again.
Wow.
And so that's the piece that the energy, I just have to keep fighting.
Absolutely.
And making sure that I'm infusing myself
mm-hmm.
quietly and boldly,
yeah.
And making sure folks understand that I'm in their corner and I'm going to fight for them.
I love that. I love how you put that so beautifully. And I think, honestly, when you wake up in the morning, I just feel like you really embody that energy. Like, and you say it all the time, if you don't have it in here, in your heart, then don't wear the Macy's logo out here, right?
Absolutely.
And I just feel like it's not just about you, but it's about something so much bigger, so that you know it's a disservice when you don't show up fully because you know you have a gift. And you know that you've made so much impact and you have a heart for people.
Yep.
And you don't want to be doing them a disservice by not showing up and going full out.
Right.
And so that definitely comes across. So one thing I really want to call out and talk about and share with our listeners is that every time someone visits the Fulfillment Center, whether you are a job prospect or a candidate, I should say, or a Macy's exec mm-hmm. from corporate,
mm-hmm.
it could be a new supplier, a customer. What's the one lasting impression you truly hope that they walk away with?
I want to make sure that everybody walks away with why Macy's is so special.
Mm-hmm.
There is a cultural vision that we have, and I'm just going to read it. It's together we deliver genuine hospitality. And that is where we index every decision that
mm-hmm.
we make inside the building
mm-hmm.
and making sure that we're embracing that concept of hospitality, which means that we're creating trust,
mm-hmm.
we're focused on service, we have excellence within the space, we have high anticipation. So everything
yeah.
that Macy's is standing for,
mm-hmm.
I want to make sure that they're oohing and aahing over the building, right? But I want them to walk back through and say, I'm in Macy's and I know it.
Yeah.
Because we're living the culture.
So so you can feel that mm-hmm. mission and core value all the way through the process, every step of the way.
Absolutely.
So that's like a guiding principle for Macy's and your associates, that you feel from the top all the way down.
And it's posters that we have throughout the building. Mm-hmm. We talk about it during orientation. Mm-hmm. So if I've got hourly colleagues in an orientation cycle, I'll go in, I ask them their favorite ice cream. Why did you come to Macy's? Right. I want to know thing about them personally.
Yeah.
But we go over this concept mm-hmm. of together we deliver genuine hospitality.
I love that.
That's our core.
Yeah, and that comes across any engagement or any interaction I've ever had with you and the core team. That absolutely comes across. One other question too that I think our listeners, especially females, would love to hear from you on is, I can only imagine how exciting and thrilling it would be to climb the ranks in the global logistics and distribution space. Global logistics is actually the fastest growing job segment here in Rowan County, so there's so much opportunity, right? Especially for young professionals and women just starting out in the mm-hmm. space. What heartfelt advice would you offer to those who not only want to succeed, but truly thrive in this type of industry?
I think it's important to align your personal brand with the organization that you work for.
I love
that. You have to really do some soul searching on where do you find value for mm-hmm. yourself. If you walk into an organization and you can't be your authentic self, then you probably shouldn't be there. Right? So mm-hmm. the reality of it is your personal brand aligning with the culture mm-hmm. that you're moving into so that you know you have the time and space to grow and to flourish. Mm-hmm. And you have the opportunity to make mistakes and have grace given mm-hmm. So that you can really become your full potential.
I love that. So you're saying that just show up authentically as yourself yep. and you will be embraced and met with grace.
Yes.
Every step of the way, you know, if you come on board at Macy's.
Yep.
That's what I love to hear. So that's wonderful. So how can our listeners connect with you? Should they reach out to you on LinkedIn? What's the best way for them to get in touch with you?
Absolutely. I'm in LinkedIn. It's Elisa Stone at, mm-hmm. you know, I'm working at Macy's and you'll see me there.
Okay.
I definitely respond to private messages that come through that vehicle.
Okay, wonderful. Well, thank you so much for carving out the time and
sure.
being on our podcast today. I loved everything we talked about, and I love that we really unpacked what makes Macy's tick and what you're most proud of with the facility. We're so excited for your success and your continued growth, and we love watching y'all go, and we're here to support you every step of the way. So thanks again for being on the podcast today.
I appreciate you. Thank you, Kendall.
You're most welcome.
Thank you for tuning in to Forward Rowan, Prosperity Through Progress. Be sure to follow Rowan EDC on LinkedIn for the latest updates on project announcements, expansions, workforce initiatives, job fairs, and more. To learn more about the Rowan EDC and our services, visit rowanedc.com. And for insights into our Forward Rowan goals, visit forwardrowan.com. Together, we're building a stronger, more prosperous Rowan County, one step at a time.